if we don't lose Roberta?
No.
Okay, that's good. So one thing, update on facility, North End facility. I attended a meeting on the 30th of last month. It was an interchange plan development meeting. And it was Port of Morrow brought it up. They're looking at doing something to get traffic off the freeway better at the port. And in that conversation, they had all the landowners on the south side of the interchange there because it's part of the IMP. And we didn't have, as Public Works in our facility, we weren't there, we were just there to listen. But in this conversation with the IMP, there's some landowners that want to do some development through there. And the city of Portland is really looking at putting some roads in on the south side. So they wanted a lot of input. It doesn't affect us, except now they're talking about running a north-south road on the west side of the cell tower, when they put the water line in. And that's to get Terry some access for his coffee shop. It gets Port of Morrow access to their piece of ground. And I'm sorry, I forgot the gentleman's name that bought the Taylor site.
Fletcher Hawk.
Fletcher. He was there because he's looking at doing some development in there.
I saw him moving dirt right next to the Pacific right now.
He's got something planned on that 3-acre piece.
Yeah.
So in the conversation, I talked to Terry a little bit. It's up to the city of Boardman and Terry right now, but they're going to do a right-hand turn only right there at the access road. It'll come in, heads west to, there's a, where they put the water line in. It's a section.
Section line.
They'll head south, go past our property, and we're trying to talk Terry into continuing the road to the back of, to the BPA line and then coming out. And I told Terry that would be good on his aspect. If I was him, I wouldn't want all those trucks turning and coming right through the middle of my property and using that existing approach. So it's kind of between the city of Boardman and Terry right now. And my only thing on it was I'd like to get an answer because that'll determine how we design that shop in there. Because if they do that, our main entrance will now be on the very south side of our property instead of, which will be fine. We'll just cut another gate in and have two gates into our property. But so if I hear more on that, I'm going to bring it back.
So what are they going to do on the north side of that interchange? Where, you know, they've got, they're coming from Columbia out by Tillamook, you get a free pass and you can go through straight. And if you're turning on the freeway, you have to stop and turn. And
the drawing that was a preliminary drawing. Right.
Big roundabout.
360-foot radius roundabout.
Oh, really?
Two lanes.
I think that'd be great down there.
And so if you come off the interstate headed west, you'll come off and go into a roundabout, and there will be two lanes. The right-hand lane will be a continuous flow all the way onto Columbia.
Okay.
It's big.
It needs to be big because it's a huge percentage of truck traffic.
Yeah. And I guess that's their, so that's the big push, you know, from the Port of Morrow is they want the north side taken care of. But the conversation was more on the south side. Is there's a lot of development coming here, and we can't fit into what we got right now. So. But there'll be more coming out of it.
We have to go back and look at the adopted interchange area management plan. I don't remember a roundabout being one of the design features.
They looked that up and they did not see it in there.
Yeah, they're going to have to go back and amend the interchange area management plan.
But there was a lot of conversation on that. So
it was talked about, but there wasn't a lot of support for it when we adopted that. It's been a number of years ago that we adopted that document.
Would they use as much then?
Well,
what I was,
yes, I mean, by the time we adopted the interchange area management plan, you couldn't drive to Kennewick and get through it without going through through a roundabout. ODOT was still, I think, feeling their way with roundabouts at that point in time, but they seem to have much more embraced them.
Yeah, they said when the IMP was wrote, ODOT didn't want to have any roundabouts, so they kind of try keeping it out of the plan.
Yeah.
But they would be, like they said, they got to look at it now because it's about the only thing that's going to solve that interchange.
You can't light that. There's not enough stacking space to light it or do anything else with it.
So just to the west of us, beyond the blueberry fields now, I guess it's the other side of Olson Road. The city of Boardman just rezoned that for industrial. The old Pritchard Circles.
Industrial?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I knew they were rezoning. I didn't realize it was industrial.
I can tell you what's going in there, but it didn't have to kill you then.
There's a lot of death going on.
Interesting. Okay.
So I don't know where if their access is going to be down Olson by the Catholic Church off of Wilson, or they're going to want to come in off the Laurel Lane interchange or down past Subway, but it'll start to get a lot of traffic next spring.
In both the city and the county TSP, there's also a project to put, not an interchange, but just an overpass at Olson. And I know that when you start looking at circulation in Boardman, it's really a needed facility. And I think the more the port grows and does stuff just like this, I think it becomes more of a need. But at the time it was put in there, it was a couple, $3-4 million. It's probably an $8 or $9 million project now.
Yeah, it was really evident that they needed that when somebody was moving a craft on. They forgot to put the boom down underneath that overpass.
Yeah, because when you lose one, there's not very many options in Boardman to get from one side of the town to the other.
No.
So
when we have more meetings and get a little closer, I hear from the city of Boardman on a plan, I'll bring it back to you guys. So, the other thing I wanted to talk about today, this is not a high priority, it's just I wanted some... this conversation came up. Landowner in Lexington approached me and said that he was interested in selling a piece of ground and was wanted the county to have the first option to it. The ground that, if you go to the map one, the bigger map, it's the blue highlighted area, and it's tax lots 800 on the first page. So on that map one, you see what is Morrill County with the dash lines and then the blue. He just offered it to us. I said, interested, get back to you. And it's kind of got put on the back burner for a while. In the conversation of asking Carla, I brought Carla in and asked her, do we have what zoning is on that and everything else, and it turned in to be...
a little boring.
But I was on the phone with her. We started looking at the tax lots, and I'll let Carla go a little more into what all we found.
So interestingly enough, there's an old subdivision, and this doesn't actually pull up the subdivision name. There's actually an old subdivision that runs across there, across in the smaller map. You can see where all the little dotted lines are. Those are old town plat or partition lot lines. And so public work zones, tax lot 200 and tax lots 1100 and tax lot 1200. There's also a dedicated alley in there and a dedicated street. And we've just built on those over time. And it's not in the county's jurisdiction. It's in the town of Lexington's jurisdiction. And I try to be real cognizant and respectful of the fact that they just, they're very, very tall, small, and they don't have staff. And so they've issued permits to Public Works to do work out there. And I don't think anybody's ever caught that Public Works is building over an alley, they're building over a street, they're building over multiple lot lines. And from both a land use planning and a building codes perspective, when you start building over those lot lines, that is problematic. And I'm kind of surprised that Brett Cook didn't catch this when he was doing building plan review, but it didn't happen. So at some point in time, should we move forward with anything, I have to, in good conscience, recommend that we go to the town of Lexington and ask for an alley to be vacated and a street to be vacated, and eventually maybe do a replat of this so that there's one clear lot. And in that process, if you look at the far east side of tax lot 200, we actually own part of H Street. And so at the point in time we would do that, I would then also offer that we should dedicate that very end piece of tax lot 200 to H Street, and understand that you're looking at this and go, well, none of these lines line up with property lines, and they don't, because GIS, when you're on, with the curve of the earth and where our satellite imagery is for this part of the county, everything's off by a couple of feet. So that's the kind of the planner input into this, is that we need to come clean with the town of Lexington and work with them to make this clean and make it right.
Resurvey the whole county.
Right, and just at the, when we're done, we just work with Ferguson to do a final plat. Once the town has vacated the alley and the road, then we would dedicate the balance of H Street on the plat.
Oh, I see the alley. Where's the road?
H Street?
It runs between, there's a couple of roads.
When you say that we're setting one, this is actually a road?
Yes. This is an alley.
Yeah, got that.
And this is a road. So this is I? No, this is H. This would be I.
Okay.
And this is Tom.
Okay.
And then this H, as you see here, they do not have access to I-74. This is, it's our property.
Yeah.
So we should, in essence, be looking at dedicating this back to the town as for the balance of H Street, and then asking them to vacate this street and this alley.
Yeah, good job.
Yep. And they have recently done an alley vacation and a partial street vacation when Sam Bellamy purchased the school district property. There's actually an alley that runs through the school district property. Well, previously the old Lexington school. So they vacated that alley and a portion of a street for his development.
And then I was always told that there used to be an alleyway that went through here, and I don't know if that might have got vacated a long time ago, or we don't have documentation on it. Or...
Well, if it had been, the documentation should be showing up on the assessor's map. It should be. It's usually a reference to the, you know, the recording document, and there doesn't appear to be anything. So.
What's the timeline on this?
Well, so this gentleman approached me. I said I would get back to him. Then I just doing some research on it, and then I called the other day, and he said we're interested, but we're still just in the talking stage. And he said, well, I might want to sell it to somebody with horses. So what I'm here today is that if we'd like to pursue it, it would be the option that we kind of talked about was on map two. If we got that piece of ground, is we could give up the small triangle on the far right side, and the city of Lexington could have another buildable city lot that's not landlocked. In that, it would be, I don't know how much the gentleman's asking for. I mean, I never got into it. It was just, are you interested? And I said, yeah, Public Works would be interested. But that's all the further it went. And before Carla and I wanted to go talk about I Street and this other stuff, we thought it might be better to just do it all in one big package. And I hate to go in and ask for, or start researching I Street and alleyway and find out it's already been vacated or it hasn't and try and fix that. And then a year down the road, we're trying to fix something every year. So I didn't know if it was worth it. I think if he is interested in selling that, we can pull that off and put a lot on H Street if that's a possibility. It'd solve everything in Lexington for Public Works. And in that process, we'll have to do a bunch of cleaning up and a replat layout. So.
The structures that he's got on there, the buildings, is there any value in those?
Yeah, the one building in the middle, the white roof, it's a... I haven't been inside. I don't know if it's a pole building or wood frame shop. It'd make a great like sign shop, you know, for storing paint, signs. The other buildings out there, they're just little tiny sheds. The stuff on the right, I don't think has any value. When he approached me about it, he had spoke to his children. None of them were interested in the property. He says, well, I just want to give the county the first option, and all I want is a nice wood fence across the back of my property. So, but I don't know if we're talking a price of $30,000 or $200,000. I mean, yeah. And in the conversation, it just
it cleaned up our yard immensely by going straight north and maybe getting the city of Lexington another buildable lot in that. It'd square us up. And but I think if we had a new, if we did this, we would almost have to do that in the transaction of the purchase to do like a land swap, because the county doesn't want to get into on a city lot, I would imagine. So,
hopes and dreams.
Yeah, I'd like to pursue it a little bit to see what price is from him and stuff, but I didn't want to go and start talking price with somebody without a head nod and Daryl or commissioner that's interested. Yeah,
he actually called me on the phone. I had a 15-minute conversation with him, and I punted to you, so I'm glad you picked the ball up.
And like I said, the last conversation, I might have changed my mind, but I want to get it. Once we found this other stuff, I thought, let's just get it in front of the board. We get a head nod in the direction. Somebody can work with me on it. Well, at least I'd like to go get some prices on what it's valued at, what a city lot of that price would be. And I mean, at least you can start thinking $30,000, $15,000, what's building worth.
Yeah.
Are we looking at $30,000 or are we looking at $100,000? And start a conversation.
And at some point in time, I think it's in the county's best interest to clean up the underlying issues of what we already have and work with the city to dedicate the balance of H. Because we're going to be paving H, and it's on county property. And so, there's a certain amount of...
It's paved.
It's paved. Okay, it's paved. I knew you were doing it. I just wasn't sure where you were at in that. So there's a certain amount of liability of a street on county property that...
Right.
If we had a risk manager sitting in the room, they'd probably be saying, we probably want to talk about that.
Yeah, and how it ever got. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to go back and do that deed research. And I haven't initiated any of that deed research kind of stuff. At that point in time, we'd probably bring Mike in and say, okay, what do you got in the records and what do you show here? And, see if there has been any vacations. It doesn't appear there's been any vacations of the alley or the street. But we don't know that for sure.
So. Regardless of the land thing, though, at some point we have to fix this.
I would advocate strongly, whether we work with this gentleman on any kind of a land swap or purchasing that, I would say that it's in our best interest to continue to move forward and clean up what we do have here.
Okay.
Dedicate the balance of age and get the alley and the street that's under constructed buildings now vacated.
Yeah, I don't think asking the price commits us to buying it. So, and that would give us more information. Like you said, I mean, he thinks he's got a gold mine there and it's $300,000. We're probably not interested. At $20,000 or $30,000, I'm probably interested.
Yeah, I would think in keeping with the spirit of the workshop, which is gathering information, commits us to nothing. And relative to these lines that are out of adjustment in the alley and such that goes through there, I would think kind of part and parcel of the county planning department as they come across these, even if it's not relative to just being on the damn county property, is this is not right. This needs, we need to start the ball rolling to adjust this, and even more so when we find it on our own darn property.
Right. Yeah. As the county planning director, I have not historically been involved in county property.
Yes.
Because most county property is inside city limits. And so there's always been this kind of, you deal with county stuff, so...
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a little embarrassed by this,
Yeah.
But I've never had a reason to look, either.
No,
so.
And it was the same thing when I popped this up and was on the phone with Stephen that day. And I'm like, what are all the hash marks on the...
So I don't feel like we're really making a decision outside of the planning or outside of the scope of the workshop to say
right.
We probably need to address correcting.
I think that's what we're looking for.
Is this some
general direction? Is this right to come back and give you in a business setting the next step? I'm kind of getting the sense at least cleaning up the current property is, and having some conversation about the additional property is.
And would somebody, would you guys be fine if Daryl is involved with me speaking to the landowner on price if there is any discussion on asking him.
I would get his price, and I would also get the tax assessed value, but but also don't want to be in another scenario where we commit to buy some cabins before we make a decision.
Well, we don't have
so we just getting numbers, not a commitment in any way.
No, and that's what I just wanted to so we can just look at it.
Right, there's a budget aspect here too, right?
Yeah.
It'd be dollars that would have to be.
And I'd like to know what it assesses for under.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll do some research and work with Mike. And
so are you looking at the cost of a Steve Haddock serving all? I'm having lots of dollars running in my head.
It would the costs would be from the part I would move forward or recommend we move forward is working with the town of Lexington. So there'll be an application fee to the town of Lexington to vacate the alley and the road. I don't know what that is, but I can certainly find out. But it's not
that's
a lot.
Big deal, yeah.
Then there would be the cost. At this point in time, my recommendation is there's a good working relationship between Public Works and Ferguson, that we work with Ferguson to, again, I think first off, do the road vacation, do the alley vacation, determine if there's a property purchase. If there's a property purchase, then I think we do it all at the same time, because there's also an alley through there that should be vacated. If we do the property purchase, then at that point in time, we do a replat and a road dedication of age. If there's not a property purchase, then once we have the things vacated, then we would move forward with having Ferguson create a partition plat. And I would need to work with the town of Lexington because I don't know if we would need to go through a process with them or if we could just file a partition plat combining our lots and dedicating the street. But because we'd be doing the street dedication, we'd probably need to work through them. I'll need to look at their code and see what that would entail. But so there might be two application fees to the town of Lexington, and then there'd be the cost with Ferguson to create the plat map, and then there would be our own recording fees, which are going to run $250 to $400.
So could this be a shared cost because it's also the city of Lexington? It's not all on the county?
We may ask them if they would be willing to waive the fees in lieu of the benefit of receiving H Street. I can't imagine those fees are going to be more than $100.
But even Ferguson, I don't know all the details, but is there a shared cost?
The cost of the replat would not, I would not feel comfortable asking the town of Lexington to pay that cost. Because it's a benefit to our property. The dedication of H Street, might be able to work with them to waive their application fee costs. I don't know.
As small as you are insinuating they are, and as much as they struggle financially, I wouldn't necessarily care about that.
Yeah, I even the cost of Ferguson, I can't imagine them, the drafting of the Mylar is going to be, they know this information, they're using information they have in their system because they've worked for the county. And they've done work on this property. I mean, they're going to have some costs associated to generating that Mylar, but I still can't. I can't imagine we can't accomplish the whole thing for even with Ferguson's fees. I have no idea what they are. $2,000.
And I prefer to go through Ferguson because they do have a lot of survey marks down there. It's not like somebody's coming to set down. They actually have the entire shop and office and everything landmarked in there. So once they get the plat, it would just...
Steve would be doing, as the county surveyor, he would be reviewing that plat prior to its recording. Yeah.
If we have Steve do it, he would do all the legwork and then ship it off to...
Gillum County.
Gillum County to get approved. So we'll...
And as far as I can see, Matt, Daryl's a natural fit for you to run this through. I mean... That's kind of part of
we just wanted to come in and have the conversation so when it does come to a business item, you guys aren't completely blindsided going, what are we doing here?
Thank you.
And I'd prefer to, if
the gentleman is interested, I'd like to just do it all in one lump, clean everything up, get H Street back to the city, but like I said, without sitting down, we don't know the cost or so.
Yeah, I would caution, you know, I mean, sometimes somebody comes to you and you go, oh my God, this is manna from heaven, I've always wanted this, and other times it's like, sure, I'll look at it, but we really need it. You know, or you look at it and you go, you know what, this would be wonderful. So, yeah, just kind of look at those different approaches.
And it's hard to even come in and back here if we don't know price. And,
right.
Yeah. And so that's right. Where we're at.
It's 230. Well, it's 228.
Perfect. Look at that.
Is this better? Is that
right?
And so that's technically could be a sellable lot.
Absolutely. That's what we're looking at. That top lot could truly be a residential opportunity for
not
the town.
Not necessarily donated. I mean, it could be, but based on comment last night, I don't know if you would jump by the donation.
Okay, I don't have an extra one for Roberta.
I can give her one.
Okay.
Let's wait till 2:30.
No, we're good.
Okay. So, we're not asking for a decision or anything on this. I just wanted to bring a letter to you and explain. And we, as Carla and I, and probably would move forward on this and bring stuff back as a business item. The letter I received from Mr. Ron McKinnis last week. So, he's acting as agent for both the Port of Morrow and the City of Boardman. I hereby formally request transfer of authority of various county roads located within the Port of Morrow and the City of Boardman. For your convenience, I have attached both the description and a map that addresses each county road and associated authority it will be transferred to. I realize that this will require action by the county commissioners and may also require public hearings depending on adjacent property ownership of each roadway. So, in this, as Carla and I have had some conversations, we don't know what if we choose to move forward on this, the process, we're going to have to do some research on the process.
Right.
So, it could be a road, which one was it we were dealing with? The Tatone project.
Yeah, the Tatone, the road that's not a road, that's, yeah.
So if it opens up into that same thing with these, it's going to be quite an issue, but what they're requesting is when you exit I-84 at Columbia, the little strip of Laurel Road and Columbia Avenue out to the bridge would become City of Boardman. The little stretch of Rippey Road that goes into Tillamook Cheese, Industrial Way, Lindsay Way, and then Columbia from the rail tracks to the wildlife boundary would all go to the Port of Morrow. I should have got a better map, but the city already, I don't know why they're having that entire stretch, because the city already has maintenance of Columbia past the Laurel Lane now.
And from about that number one west, correct?
From
Laurel?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
they're from Laurel.
Oh, okay.
It's actually somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's from here all the way. Yes.
It's actually from about right here.
Yeah, okay, so somewhere in between.
Because this is the road that we vacated with Tatones.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to put a new road in right here, and it's right at the boundary.
Mm-hmm.
So I also know that when we vacated the portion of Rippey Road that is now constructed over by VA Data, that portion of Rippey Road was very oddly created as well. Part of it went back to an old dedication. Part of it was part of an ODOT transfer. So when we start delving into how all of these roads actually became what they are in order to get to a clean transfer from us to them, we're gonna figure that out. So it might take us a week or a month, or it might take us 4 months to figure that out all out before we get back here with an actual process. But we want to make sure that we have a willing board before we we do that endeavor. I can tell you this is a conversation that's gone on in the background for as long as I've been planning director. Probably got more intense or more, there's more going on about it as the port started really expanding East Beach in reference to Columbia, that portion of Columbia from the bridge overpass out. The port did a major reconstruct on that 5 years ago. And there was a little contention in that because the port was doing work on a county road. So this really makes that clean, and it would just be really clear about who the road belonged to, who was responsible for the maintenance. In that, one of the things that my probably only real request in this is that we enter into an agreement that becomes really clear with the port, because a lot of the ports, well, the majority of the port's roads will be in the county. And I want to make sure that they're issuing access. If we're going to give them the roads and we're going to give them the authority, I want to make sure that they understand that authority means they still have to comply with the county's TSP. It's the county's TSP that still governs. So issues around site distance, when they're issuing an access permit, they still have to meet our site distance requirements. They still have to meet our access spacing requirements. But I think that's doable.
So what does transfer of authority mean as compared to like us taking over the 21
road
east?
No, just turn it back to gravel.
Okay, so
what does this exactly mean?
That was a conversation we had here earlier. Was so this has been a conversation since I've been here. I've asked the question, why do we not give these roads to the port? I mean, they have we as a county, I don't see a reason to sit in a room when they're developing their 50-year plan and trying to put in rail and crossing and bridges. I think it's just, it's all Port of Morrow down there. Let them design it how they want. The conversation came up a few different times, and it came up lately because the East Beach, they're going to do a rail expansion, or they're looking at it. And the way that's always worked before I was here was the port is the rail authority, Morrow County is the road authority. So when they go through ODOT to get a rail crossing and cross the road, we have to sit at the table alongside the port, say we agree with this. They just asked if we would entertain this idea and just clean it up so it's all the port. In your question, Commissioner Lindsay, is what we're getting over the road up there is we're getting an easement over the top, and we will have road authority, so we maintain it. It's still the Forest Service down underneath, but it's ours. And we had this conversation out here earlier that when we start researching this, which is going to take some research, and Ron McInnes, I would assume, will be doing 90% of it at their cost. If we get into those things like the Tatone property where we own it and it might be simpler, maybe we just give them road authority and road maintenance authorization. We're like the Forest Service. We're under here. They can do, they're taking care of it. They can design it. They have complete road authority. Because it might turn into a Tatone, you know, half this road's this way, half's the other way.
Columbia is the old highway.
20 Tatones.
Highway, pardon?
Might be 20 Tatone kind of things.
Right. Well, so Columbia there is old Highway 2. And when the John Day went in, they did the John Day project, and they relocated the highway to what is now 730, and then eventually 80, which then became 84.
It'd be 80 north.
Pardon?
It was 80 north.
Yeah, it was 80 north, yes. Then became 84. So they transferred the old Highway 2 to the county, and I'm not sure how ODOT transferred it to. So I mean, I think that's the first point. We need to go back and really understand. And that happened in the late 50s or the early 60s. I don't remember the exact date. But did ODOT give us authority, or did they actually give us the road? And I don't. That's the first question, because if ODOT actually still owns the road and we just have authority, we may be just. I mean, I think that's the first question. I think ODOT gave the county the road, but I think we need to confirm that. So those are the things that we're going to have to figure out before we get to the final result. And I think that will drive what we come back to you with a recommendation of what we finally say, this is how we should do it. We just want to make sure we're working on something that you guys would want us to be working on moving towards.
I just kind of like the idea that we only had to maintain 940 miles of road instead of 949.
Well, as road authority, in these conversations, like this new intersection they're doing down there, they're designing it. We're sitting at the table, and it's kind of like making video and access here pending a drawing, but I don't know what they're doing in 10 or 15 years. It's really hard, but
yeah.
I would be fine with them taking it over and doing everything down there, so.
So why would the city of Boardman want to take on maintenance of roads when that's an issue already for all the cities?
They've recently annexed that, so I mean.
Just because they're the surrounding landowners, why they're involved in that question.
Right, so when you look at the first of those two maps, when you think about what they've annexed most of that property in there, with the exception of Boardman Foods and Tillamook. Oh, and maybe VA Data. So, but they've annexed everything else. Everything else that's bare property or property that they have control of what's on it, they've recently annexed that.
Around this Columbia one you're talking
about? Right, in here.
Yeah.
It did a 180-some-acre annexation. So that road is really in property within which they annexed.
They annexed in their description. It's all the way to the rail tracks.
Yep, all the way to the rail tracks.
Boardman Foods, and this is block out of it. But it takes in all of this. It's now inside the city.
So in a normal scenario, when you're creating a city, you would not have put a county road in it anyway.
I would certainly encourage that, yeah. Don't have somebody else be the road authority when it's surrounded by your jurisdiction.
I was approached when they did do this, or right before it happened, the annexation, and asked, did anybody approach you? They're annexing this all into the city, and there's still a county road in it.
Yeah, I wondered that at the time.
By the time I heard the conversation, it was kind of already done, and they let the road out. So now there's conversation and all this between this city and the port, and now they're coming back saying, hey.
So we could have put a toll road in.
Ooh.
Potentially.
But very neighborly.
Just say it.
Just on the other
side. I mean, they annexed over our roads. Okay. Not to get off subject, but it goes back to, you know, the urban growth boundary and buildable lands, and they annex this, you know, they kind of went out to this section, and they actually skip a section to the west of that they didn't annex, which is kind of interesting. But as you look at that, and then I think it's industrial, and it gives them some more industrial land, and we're going, that's great, but what we really need is 1,000 more houses. Do we have...
There's a lot of buildable lands inside the city of Boardman.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And as we work through the buildable lands inventory, we will get a more clearer picture about just where all of our communities are.
So is there any, I mean, at any point, you know what, you got 2% buildable lands and you got 98% industrial, and what you really need is houses here.
Right. And I think we'll learn where we're right and wrong through the buildable lands inventory.
Yeah, okay.
So this annexation, I didn't have any heartburn with this annexation, the exception being they left a couple of properties in islands that are still county jurisdiction.
Yeah.
And I've been working with Barry a little bit. We need to figure out addressing here, because I want to be really clear that when property is annexed, those whether it's houses or industrial sites or whatever it is, they should be addressed according to their jurisdiction. And so we've been having some conversation that because there's county and city now kind of in this, I don't know, patchwork kind of thing, we've been talking that it is predominantly city, and that the city should have addressing jurisdiction to the railroad line, the railroad overpass. And in that we would notice those folks that are still in the county and indicate that we are still responsible for their land use and other issues related to the county, but that, and this drives it even further, the city's going to have responsibility for your road, and they're therefore going to have responsibility for your addressing. And it, talking with Barry, it's probably four digits by the time they get out there. They're past the three digits, and they'll be at four digits. But we're five digits. So there's just this annexation, and this, there's a lot of moving parts with this conversation.
Yeah, and part and parcel of that, too, is even that the island that sits out there at Loves and Long, you know, that the city owns out there.
They own it. It's not their jurisdiction, and that's different.
Yeah.
Okay. They own it. They don't have jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So Loves has to comply. The city has to comply with county requirements out there.
Right. I don't know what, I mean, what do you need from us necessarily relative to this? You just bring this to us?
I think the head nod that you would be willing to transfer these roads to these two jurisdictions, and we'll move forward and figure out.
There's going to be a lot of work.
There's a fair amount of work underlying this to get to that point. But then we have to figure out if this requires a public hearing or not. I think it does, but you know, there's the underlying, knowing what's the legal construct of the roads so that we can transfer them. We need to figure that out. But there's no reason to do that work if you're not willing to transfer them.
Yeah, technically, Chair, I suppose this question ought to come up in at a public meeting.
Yeah, I do too. I have a gut reaction, but I'm not ready to shake my head for sure yet. I mean, I want to.
Well, we wanted to come in at work session.
I have a general gut reaction, but I don't know that.
Yeah.
Could that take a little time with it and shake our head in?
Yeah.
2 weeks.
My thing is, I didn't want to bring this as a
right.
business
no,
item
that.
In front of public.
Because it's a lot of work.
So it was just if we get a consensus or. And to go back to Daryl, my take on this is coming from the Port of Morrow and the city of Boardman, and I would like Ron, they'll pay the cost. I mean, I don't think we should bear any cost to it. You know, we might have some cost if we're trying to do something with Ferguson and looking through records and trying to help, but we haven't even started that conversation.
And there'll be a cost to holding a public hearing if one is required.
So why didn't you want to bring it before the board at a public meeting, or do you think
because we didn't really Carla and I would recommend it, but I just didn't want it plastered all over the paper that we're giving up roads in the Port of Morrow, or
right.
You know, without knowing if there's going to be a lot of paperwork to do before it's
we're plowing hundreds of hours into something if you guys are like
well, but I wouldn't want you to put hundreds of hours into it off of our head nod and then have the public go create. I mean, maybe we should take the heat and hear, then put that we're thinking.
I wouldn't think there'd be a lot of public pushback on us turning over some roads that are now inside the city limits of Boardman.
Yeah.
And that's my gut reaction. Yeah, absolutely.
One question though: do they remain public access?
Like
Columbia Avenue, can they still get all the way down to the refuge?
Yes.
Again, so that doesn't change.
So there's a little more to this. When the port, as the port has done a number of land partitions out in East Beach over the last 6 or 8 years, the roads that have been created, so the new roads out there, Lewis and Clark, I'm not remember all the names, but Lewis and Clark, Internet,
Gar Swanson,
Ruth Kennedy. Which one?
Gar Swanson.
Those, if you look at the plats on how those roads were dedicated, they were dedicated to the public, but they were dedicated as Port of Morrow roads. So those, all of those other roads in East Beach, are Port of Morrow roads, but they've all been dedicated to the public, so they function just like any other.
So people can walk on them, drive on them.
Absolutely.
And my guess is they did it that way because several years ago the county was really short on road funds, and the port wanted those roads maintained. And if they were county roads, if we got short on road funds again, they may not be maintained to their standard.
Well, and the port actually has a little bit different road standard than we do because they're putting more utilities in. They're putting fiber in. They're putting water, wastewater, and industrial wastewater. And so they're managing that right away differently than we would. And if they're their roads and not our roads, then it's their authority to do that work inside the right away. So it's not, you know, always coming to the county, hey, we're putting in another fiber line, we're putting in another this, we're putting in another that.
Right.
They are the responsible party, but they are all dedicated to the public.
I struggle to see your concern, Matt. I don't see where...
I just wanted to see if there was something we wanted to pursue.
Okay.
Okay.
Once again, I'm the oldest one in the room. Yeah. Maybe not chronologically, but historically. There was a point in time.
I'm the old man.
There's still a degree.
There was a time politically, we'd have been run out of town.
Yeah.
For even considering working with him.
Okay. Yeah. So, I'm fairly comfortable. I think the political environment all the way around has changed a lot, but I think we're just trying to be sensitive to. We've not had this conversation with you guys about roads in this manner, and so I think we want to just make sure that.
I can appreciate that a little bit. You know, I mean, I had a constituent tell me one day said, you know, we got together on down here as farmers and loaned the port. You can tell me $500. $100, $500,
$500.
Yeah. And they said that they would, you know, do these things for us and help us out and take care of us forever. Relative to that, I don't know. This is all word of mouth. And so there is some of that. You know, but you also want them to recognize that we were worth $1 billion. We're worth five now, and so most of those roads in front of their house are a lot of those dollars are, you know, generated here. So.
Yeah,
it's a fairly big deal, though, to hear on the street that these two staff members are working on road transfers and we're going to see it in 2 months. I wouldn't have felt very good about that.
It's much more comfortable and also hearing that, you know, this is going to be on their dime and those kind of, you know, with their engineer and their dime. And because that is a challenge for us if we, you know, we hear out there that you guys are doing what?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
They're better.
And like I said, I've experienced it's changed, it's gotten better. But the phone call, I got a phone call before this that said, Matt, can we talk about this again? And it was just, I'm interested in it, let's talk about it. So I asked to send a letter so at least we can get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And something you might consider as you go is, you know, we're talking about transit and the transit dollars we're going to need. And, you know, like $1 million a year with 3% increase over the next 20 and we revisit it, we consider it.
Yeah, and
so what about
the boardman meeting?
One of
do you want to put this on the business agenda at the boardman meeting?
Right away,
just maybe an agenda item that says agreement to proceed with blah blah.
So maybe what we could do is the meeting you're in boardman in September, actually invite maybe Ron and Barry,
I think,
or at least Ron. To come in and just say, hey, this is...
I'm just asking, I know Ron is very interested in this, just with all their East Beach planning and the rail, but yeah, we can do it.
You know, just make it put it on the business agenda and make it an informational item.
Let's talk to Ron and figure out how this needs to go.
Okay.
I think it should come to an agenda and not be a head shake, even though we're saying it's worth bringing to an agenda. And that also just gives a couple weeks to kind of toss it around. I guess just my head. And then it's right out there on the open agenda. Yeah. It's a short conversation. It's not necessarily an approval of the final outcome, but it's we're doing this.
That's why we asked to do this, because I didn't want it as a business item, and you guys are sitting around going, I'm not willing.
Don't even think about it, yeah. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Yeah, I like that plan. Good idea.
Perfect.
Two topics in 50 minutes.
And my total gut reaction is I just want to understand what the negativity of it was before.
I'm trying to figure out what the requirements around public hearings would be in the process.
And I think that's all going to determine if it's a...
Right.
Road vacation rededication, or if it's a road.
What we're actually doing. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So. Perfect.
Thank you.
Is it possible just for me to ask a quick question?
Bites a lot in here.
This part of the meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
So in my obligated